Amen. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be reading verse number 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. And we are getting to the last of the messages of the year regarding our theme of the year, that shining God's light with all our might. For everybody to see, amen. And so we're looking at Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. We'll kind of round it all up next week and preach the final message on that, and probably on the 27th do a review. Of course, the 21st will be our Christmas message in preparation for Christmas. But we'll do a overall message next week, and then the 27th or 28th, I believe it is, will be the final message, amen, in this series. Everybody at Matthew chapter 5, say amen.
Amen.
Your Bible should just fall open to that. We've been here all year, amen. I'm sure it's probably marked up and highlighted up and everything of that nature, amen. This is actually our theme verse, not just for this year, but this has been our theme verse since our inception, and that is Matthew 5:16. We're called Shining Light Baptist Church, and it comes from this verse of Scripture. So I want you to read that together with me, verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. One of the things about this is, as we're winding down towards the end of the year, this is going to be finally one of those finishing messages regarding shining God's light. We've looked at many, many things down throughout this passage of Scripture. We've gone to other areas detailing what light is and what light is all about. This morning, I'm going to focus on shining God's light with all our might with a manward view. With a manward view, we've looked at many, many different views. We looked at a going away view, ministerial view, an individual view, a world view, a clear view, and a household view. And we'll deal more with that next week as we kind of wrap things up. This morning is going to be a manward view. Notice the Bible says again, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So the emphasis on shining the light that we have before men or mankind. The goal is they'll see what we do, and then they will give our God in heaven the glory and the praise. By the way, good works do not produce godliness.
That's
right. Let me say that again. Good works do not produce godliness. Godliness ought to produce good works. If you get the cart before the horse, you will have no reward in heaven because you are doing your works before men for your gratification from man. And the emphasis on this verse is letting your light shine before men, that's your good work, that they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the goal is godliness is going to produce some good works. Men are going to see my good works. They're going to give God the glory and the praise, and people will come to Christ because of my good works. And so we'll look at today shining God's light with all our might with a manward view. Now, Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your glory. And thank you for what you've done in our lives and what you are continuing to do in our lives. Lord, I pray that as we consider this of one of the final messages in this series of messages that we've preached throughout the year, looking at a manward view. Lord, I pray that when people see what we do, they won't see us, but by the good works that we do, they will see you and glorify you, which is in heaven. Lord, we know little is much when God is in it. And Lord, even the littlest of works that we do should point to you and give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. Lord, we know that you did not give us all the same abilities, nor did you give us all the same light size, but you did give us all the ability to shine that light that we have. Lord, may we embrace the children's song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. No matter how little it may be, Lord, may we not let Satan blow it out, put it out, stamp it out, but I'm going to let it shine. Lord, help us today to recognize we have the power in the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to do the will of God for the work of God. Lord, I pray when it's all said and done, there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today without Jesus Christ. They've never been born again. They've never been broken over their sin. They've never repented and turned from sin to Jesus Christ, and they've never been born again. Well, they may be religious. They might know the lingo. They might know all the good things to say. They might even have good works. Lord, if they're not born again, the works are for naught. They'll still go to a place called hell. Place you never desired for them. Lord, I pray that we would not come to the ending of this year with all these messages talking about our light and not have that eternal light. And that light is Jesus Christ, the light of men. Help us today, Lord. Help me as the pastor, the preacher. Give me the filling of thy spirit to preach, thus saith the Lord. Lord, may lives be challenged, lives be changed for the glory of God, and may that person that has not trusted you be saved today. Thank you for our guest today. Thank you for our regular folks here today. Lord, may you be high and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Miss Charmaine's going to come and sing for us this morning.
Teenage boy in prison before he's even grown. The illness of a loved one, a widow no one calls. There is one solution, an answer for it all. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is hope, there is strength and victory to claim. There is healing in his holy presence. There is power in his name. Needing mercy, fighting for her life. A church that needs reviving, a broken man and wife. But in the name of Jesus, chains of bondage fall. Prayers are heard and answered when God's children call. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is hope, there is strength and victory to claim. There is healing in his holy presence. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood.
Thank you, Charmaine, for that special. I appreciate it. There is power in the name. There's power in the blood. Amen. I think we ought to get worked up about the songs of the Lord Jesus Christ, about his blood and what he's done and how he's redeemed us. Amen. From our sins. Without that blood, there is no light that we have to shine, by the way. Amen. And so thank you for that special. I appreciate that. And Mrs. Dawson, praise God for that one. Candles of Christmas. Amen. We ought to be candles. Amen. Whether it's a candle in our workplaces, a candle in our jobs, a candle out in public. Amen. We ought to be a candle in the light for people to see. And I purposely had Devin sing that this morning, knowing that we were finishing up this area talking about our light and letting our light so shine before men. We're going to talk about some basic things this morning that I think we already know. We've pretty much exhausted this area. This verse is the only one that we've really not touched on. And so this is going to be the finishing touches. And then, like, say, the next 2 weeks will be more of a general wrap up of the verses there. And then we'll finish it all off on the 28th. Amen. But when you look at this thing, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works. Some of the people that you confront are around. Did you know that you're the only light that they may see? They don't go to church. They're not around Christian people. They don't read the Bible. They don't look at TNB or what is that? TBN. TBN. They don't look at the Trinity Network. They don't look at any of that. They don't turn on Robert Shuler, which is a good thing. Amen. You know, they may flip across Joel Osteen at nighttime, but that's not going to help them much. Amen. They need light. They need the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I possess that light. But Jesus said, if our light be hid, or Paul said, if our light be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give it light unto all that are in the house. Then he said, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works. Why? Because they're not looking for God. And so they need to see your good works so that they can see God and glorify him in heaven by what you do. Amen. Hey, folks, now's not a time to let Satan blow it out. No. Now's not a time to let it go out or go down or go dim. We can't afford that. There's a battle raging, and Satan is trying to win. I'm glad I read the end of the story already. He's already lost. He knows his time is short. And so he's trying to make as much of a casualty of the house of God as he can. And he is out to put your light out. When I look at this passage here, we're going to look at three basic points. Our light's illumination, our light's operation, and then our light's motivation. Those three basic points. Notice, first of all, our light's illumination.
our light's illumination. Jesus said in this verse, after giving them the Beatitudes, he's teaching the Sermon on the Mount here. And as you can see by verses 1 and 2, he opened his mouth in verse 2 and taught them, saying, he gives all the Beatitudes, saying, this is the way Christians ought to behave in verses 3 through 12. Then 13, he says, you're like salt, he said, and you need to have some savor. And then he said in verse 14, he said, ye are the light of the world. He said, a city that's on a hill, it cannot be hid. Then he said in verse 15, don't put it under a bushel. That's not what it's made for. And then he ends it before going into the laws of Moses by saying, let your light so shine. First of all, our light is an allowance. It's an allowance. You don't have to shine. But let me say this. It's anticipated. It's anticipated. Pastor White, would you get up for a moment and turn off the lights? He said, let your light so shine. It's an allowance. You don't have to do it, but it's anticipated. Now, he's turned those lights off. Now, when he turns the switch back on, Pastor White, what do you anticipate should happen? The light should come on. That's an anticipation. Jesus said, let your light so shine. It's an allowance. You don't have to do it, but it's anticipated that when the button is pushed and people need to see your light, it ought to come on. Pastor White, turn the lights back on. It ought to happen just like that. Men are looking for your light. They're looking for my light. What do they see when they see you? It's an allowance, but are you letting it shine? You say, well, preacher, I got problems. I got issues. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got issues. But you know what? Jesus is the main one to solve the issues. And if we have Christ, there is no issue he can't solve. There's no problem he cannot solve. There's power in the name of Jesus. And so whatever petty problem you have is really no comparison to the power of God who can let your light shine. But let me tell you something. He's not going to force you to do it. He said, let your light shine. He didn't say, I'm going to make you shine. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't make you shine? Amen. Let me ask you something. What are you walking around with today that's preventing you from allowing your light to shine when you know it's anticipated? I wonder. Hey, it's easy. Don't let Satan it out. He ain't got no power to put your light out. You voluntarily give it up. Can I get an amen? Amen. Satan has no power to put out your light because he cannot thwart the power of God. You voluntarily give it up. You voluntarily let him put it out. You voluntarily give it to him. And if you're giving it to him, you've given it to the devil. And that, my friend, is where your problem lies. You have given in to his power. When the power of God is greater, you've let him blow it out because he said, let your light so shine. You've got the Beatitudes. You have no excuse. You know you're salt. You have no excuse. You know it shouldn't be hid. You have no excuse. And Jesus came back and said, so let it shine. It's an allowance. But my friend, I love the children's song. Don't let Satan put it out. I'm going to let it shine. It's an allowance. The purpose behind light is to shine. I don't want to turn on the light switch just to have the lights not come on. My wife woke up the other morning. She said, honey, this light doesn't shine. And I said, well, the plug is probably loose. So we checked the plug. The plug wasn't loose. It was getting power. I said, ha-ha, maybe it's the bulb. So I went and got another bulb that worked on my side and put it on her side. And it worked. Guess what? There was no problem with the power source. It was a problem with the bulb. Hey, there's no problem with the power source. The problem is with the vessel that it goes through. Amen. Amen, Pastor. You're either going to let it shine or you're going to allow it to go out. One of the two. There's no problem with the power. We know the power is good. The power is in the name of Jesus, Charmaine. The power is in the blood of Christ. The power is in the blood of the Lamb. There's no problem with the power. There's no problem that the power can go through that. But the vessel has got to be allowed to shine. Let it shine. What am I saying? It's an allowance. John chapter 1 and verse 5. John said this in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, what he's saying, God is light. So if you're saying that you're with God and you're walking in darkness, he said, you're telling a lie. You're not doing the truth of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
You're lying and you're not doing the truth that you know you ought to do because God is light. So if you're not shining, it's not God's problem. It's your problem. Preacher, I don't like that. You don't have to like it. It's still true. God is light. And so if God is light and you have God and you're not shining, the problem is you and not God. Ooh, preacher, don't say that. There's never been a problem with God's power, nor God's person. It's always been a problem with the vessel in which it's going through. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, this is 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. By the way, God has never been in the dark. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Even when the world was dark and void and there was nothing there, guess what? God was still light. When God said, let there be light, he was still light. And he will always be light. Why? Because God is light. And if I possess him, I have the light. But if I walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Guess what? I can't have no fellowship one with another if I'm not walking in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Our light is an allowance. A lighthouse shines brightly and warns of danger to oncoming ships. Lighthouses shine through storms for others to steer to safety. You and I are lighthouses individually, and as a church, collectively, we are lighthouses to a dark world out there. And our job as a lighthouse is to warn people, there's danger coming, there's a place called hell, it will come to you, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death. Hey, I'm a lighthouse, I'm shining, but if you are not shining, guess what? Those people will die and go to hell at your expense. If the lighthouse goes out, whose problem is it? Whose fault is it? Is the lighthouse man who's at the helm. Guess what? The lighthouse doesn't make a whole lot of noise. It just shines brightly. What do people see through our storms and their storms? They need to see the way to God for help. And if they can't see the way to God, that means that you have lost your way. Because you should be shining. He said, let your light shine. I'm not going to force anybody. He said, let it shine. It's an allowance. Let it shine. Our lights can't afford to be dim. They need to see that we have an anchor for the soul. Our rock is Jesus. He's never failed. He's never been moved. He never will, but we so often are. Amen.
Amen.
Our lights can't afford to be dim, especially when it's needed the most, which could be at any time in your life, but especially during storms. Especially during storms. That lighthouse, I mean, it can shine on a sunny day all it wants to. And guess what? It's not needed then. When it's needed most is at dark and night, at the stormy times, when you can't see the way to steer, navigate the seas, when you can't get the boat going, when the boat is rocking, when the boat is about to sink, when the boat's about to capsize, when the boat's going through difficulty, when the boat is rocking and reeling, when the boat's going up and down and I can't see. That's, my friend, when the lighthouse needs to shine. That's when it needs to shine. Let me ask them, do you shine through that? You have the capability. You have the power. Jesus said, ye are the light. Did he not? But then he said, let your light so shine. Y'all giving me that's impossible look, Pastor. If it were impossible, he wouldn't have said, let it shine. You know why it doesn't shine oftentimes? Because it takes fuel of the word of God and you're empty. It takes the Holy Spirit of God and you're empty. It takes prayer to God and you're empty. When's the last time you fell on your knees and prayed to God and said, oh, Lord, give me the word of God. Fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Help me through these tough times so people can see my life. I know it's tough. I know I got problems. I know I got issues. I know I got this. I know I got that. I know I got them. I know I got that over there. I know I got this. But God help me. Get on my knees and pray. Pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit. I want people to see my storm is not the end of it. I've got a God in heaven. I got a light that I'm going to shine. Lighthouse can't afford to go out. I don't care how stormy it gets. That lighthouse cannot afford to go out. And ye are the light. And he said, let your light shine. Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp. And the law is light. While a lot of people don't shine, they don't have the commandment, that's the lamp. And the law, that's the light. And if you do have it, are you using it? It's your fuel. And if you do have it, are you praying the Holy Spirit would use it through you? It's an allowance, but not only is it an allowance, our light has an audience. Our light is made to attract men to the gospel of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. He says, let your light so shine before men. Not only is it an allowance, it has an audience. A light is made to attract people. Let me give you this. Light attracts people. I don't know about you, but I when I see light, it attracts me. Light attracts me. How many of y'all ever been to Vegas? See the bright lights? Don't you just kind of get enamored by the lights? You get wowed by the lights. You want to go to the lights and you know, walk into the light. You see all these bright lights and it's blinking and bling, bling. You're thinking, wow, look at all the lights. Nobody I've seen veers off the path and goes down the dark road in Vegas. Probably because you get mugged. But what you do when you go to Vegas, you want to look at all the bright lights. Now, I'm not advocating gambling, so don't y'all say, Pastor got up there and advocated gambling. Some of y'all are going to play slot machines already. Go down to Desert Diamond Casino. Pastor said, bling, bling. No, I ain't talking about it. I'm just using that as an example. In Vegas, there are a lot of lights, and it attracts people. But can I tell you something? Lights also attracts bugs and leaves them dead. Can I get an amen? Light attracts people, but lights attract bugs and leaves them dead. What are you doing when you attract people? Ooh, preacher. Oh, are you leaving them dead? Do you see them at your feet lying down there because you did something that you know is not glorifying to God? You know that your Father in heaven is not pleased. You know that your light's not shining and the light that you have is darkness. Ooh, preacher, don't say it. Don't say it. I'm going to say it. Amen. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Hey, what am I saying? The same light that attracts people attracts the same bugs and leave the bugs dead. So you can attract people and you can leave them more alive when they leave you. Mm-hmm. Or you can attract them and leave them more dead when they leave you.
That's right, Pastor.
The decision is yours because it's still an allowance. Let your light so shine. Say, preacher, I don't like that. Hey, this is tough stuff here. Let your light so shine. Ain't for the squeamish. Matthew 6:23 says this. Matter of fact, you write in 5. Turn back to 6:23. Jesus speaking about your treasures and laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Then verse 22, he says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of what? Light. But he said, if thine eye be evil, if you're beholding that which is wicked and wrong and sinful, the whole body shall be full of what? Darkness. I can say that I'm walking in light, but I'm lying and doing not the truth. Then he says this, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know what Jesus is saying there? In other words, people can think they're doing right and think they got the light, but they're just as dark as ever. I've met some people that are thinking they're doing right, and they're just as dark. And they're animate about it, too. Well, preacher, you believe that way, and I believe this way. And they have no light at all. And it's light to them, but it's darkness. And how great it is. Why? Because they'll go to hell believing that they are in the light. And they'll knock on your doors and try to peddle you their light that they think they have that's really darkness. And they're trying to give you some of their paraphernalia that they think is light that's really darkness. Can I tell you that Christians can be the same way? They think they're walking in the Spirit. They think they're walking in the light. And they're convinced that it's right and it's wrong. It's darkness. It's a lie. It's against the Word of God. And it's dark. And how great is it? Especially when you share that darkness with somebody else. How great is that darkness? Why? I think I'm right. I believe I'm right. I must be right. You could be wrong. He said, how great is that darkness? Why? Because I think I got light. Notice a few verses on things we do before men. You're at chapter 6. Go back to verse number 1. Jesus here talking to the same crowd here on the Sermon on the Mount. If you've got a red letter edition, this is still red. All the way from chapter 5 all the way up to this point. And he lets them know this. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. What did he say? As he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he says, when you give, when you do your deeds, when you give things to others, he said, watch how you do it. Do you want people to give you a pat on the back? He says, if you do, you already got your reward. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is where? In heaven. Go over to chapter 10 and verse number 32. Chapter 10 and verse number 32. And in chapter 10 and verse 32, some other things that we can do before men. And notice what he says. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, confess that Jesus is Lord, him will I confess also before my Father, which is where? In heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is where? In heaven. What did he say? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You say, preacher, how can he deny me? I'm saved. Amen. How can you say that you're saved and deny the word of God? Ooh, preacher, say it ain't so. How can you do that which is contrary to the word of God and say you're a child of God? He said, I'll deny you. Now, he's not saying that he's going to disown you, meaning that you won't get the promises attached to the word of God, because he's got to honor his word. But if you dishonor his word, you won't be honored by the promise that comes with that word. Can I get amen? Amen. So if you're counting on something and you're dishonoring God, denying him and denying that promise that's attached to that word, he said, you're not guaranteed that promise. Amen. Some of y'all looking scared. I might not be saved. You might not be. You might not be. Hey, if you think just good works going to get you to heaven, hey, man, you better go look at Ephesians, not by works, or not Ephesians, but at Titus, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, works before men. Go over to Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. What are we talking about? Men need to see our good works and they need to glorify our Father, but they've got to be able to see something in us. Luke chapter 16, notice verse 15. And Luke says this. And same basic area, talking about no man can serve two masters up there in verse 13. And verse 14 says, and the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things and they derided him. So the Pharisees heard what he was saying and about covetousness. And they thought, man, he must be talking about us. And he was. And he said unto them, ye are they, notice this, which justify yourselves before men. He said, what you're trying to do is tell people that you're right and you're wrong. He said, because I can see your heart. Now, by the way, nobody can see your heart but God Almighty. And that's why Jesus could say that, because Jesus saw their hearts. If you think you know somebody's heart, you are gravely mistaken. Who are you? Are you God? Well, I know what they were thinking. Since when did you jump in somebody's mind and take over? Don't we do that, though? We look at somebody. I know what you're thinking about me. Well, how do you know? Because of that look. I could be thinking about something foul. And that's why I'm looking like that. I could be thinking about my checkbook. That's why I'm looking foul. I could be thinking about a lot of things. Hey, but he says here, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, Pharisees. How many times have we been guilty of that? He said, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. He said, what you're doing is abominable. He said, God knows your heart. You're just doing that before men to be seen of men. He said, but God knows your heart. What am I saying? These are all things that we do before men. He said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Each one of those passages that we looked at are things that we do before men. He said, let your light so shine before who? Men, that they may see what? Your good works and do what? And glorify your Father in heaven. When's the last time somebody praised God for your good work? Then maybe your good work wasn't a good work for God. Let me ask you a question. For your good work, did they praise you or did they praise God? Ooh, preacher. Oh, no. The last song you sang, did they praise God or did they praise you? Last sermon you preached, did they praise God or praise you? I would quickly, Brother Mark, deflect praise to God. I remember one time my wife commented on Mark. Mark had preached, said, praise God. Mark said, don't praise me, praise God. Amen. Hey, he wanted to make sure, I'm not doing this for men. I'm doing this for God. Now, there's nothing wrong with commenting if the preaching blessed you. Nothing wrong with that. Say, man, that blessed my heart. But the preacher should always give praise to God. Amen. Why? Let your works glorify your Father, which is, I'm glad God used me as a vessel. I'm glad God used me as a tool. I'm glad God saw worthy and fit to use me as a servant. As miserable and as wretched as I am, he chose to use me. Praise God. That's the way it ought to happen. Not saying, oh, yeah, I did preach a good sermon, didn't I? Glad you liked it. I got more. Want to hear them? I got a couple more, as a matter of fact, at home just like that one. I think I'll preach those next week if you're going to say the same thing about me. I'm not looking. Folks, don't get me wrong. I praise God if he uses a sermon to bless your heart and to touch your heart. But Kenny, I'm not doing this to please man. I have a God in heaven who I am trying to please. And let me tell you something, Brother Scott, every time I come into this pulpit, I am nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I don't want to let my God down. I don't want to displease my God. Why? My goal is to please God in heaven, not you. Never has been you. Now, I'm not going to try to go out and offend you or make you mad or try to do something like that. That's not my goal. My goal is to please God. You have no rewards in heaven waiting for me. And I don't have one for you. Don't try to give me a bunch of platitudes. Ooh, you waxed eloquent today. What you going to do with it? If it's so good, why ain't your life changed? Ooh. If it's so good, why don't you heed what I say? But Jesus said, call me Lord, Lord, do not the things I say. So I'm not doing what I do before men. Hey, what am I saying? This is an allowance. He said, let your light so shine before men. Our light's illumination. It's an allowance, but it has an audience. We're going to attract people. We're going to either leave them more alive or more dead. Notice, second of all, our light's operation. Our light should shine before men, but it's for the glory of God in heaven, not man. He says that they may see your good works. If light is truly shining, it's going to illuminate things that's around it. If light is truly shining, it's going to shine its best when it's dark. I've got my manger scene out in the front of my yard. And sometimes I'll forget to unplug it at night. And guess what? You can't see it during the daytime. But you let the lights come down, Brother Serge. It gets towards the evening. Guess what? Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, they shine up all the way out in the street. Don't shine a whole lot during the daytime. Now, I'm a light person, so I'll turn the lights on in the house during the daytime. Because that's inside. And I'll turn the lights on the rail, you know, and I get my electric bill, and then I have to turn them off a little bit. Amen. But I'm just a light person. I like lights. And so I'll turn the lights on in the inside. But a light shines its best when it's dark. Our light, he says, that they may see your good works. It's got an operation. Our light's operation for men to see by what we do and what we don't do. In other words, our operation will be good works for the glory of God and the good of man. Notice some verses on good works. Let me read these to you real quick. Amen. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. Notice this. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. 1 Timothy 6:18, dealing with the rich. He said that they do good, that they be rich in what? Good works. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. 2 Timothy 3:17, dealing with the man of God. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. In Titus, he said, show this in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In Titus 2:14, he says, Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. In Titus 3:18, he said, this is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? Good works. Right. Hebrews, go over there and turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 10. All those works are dealing with good works. Hebrews chapter 10, one of the verses that we normally come upon when it deals with church attendance. And in chapter 10, in verse number 20, chapter 10, verse 25, we all know verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But we forget about verse 24. And verse 23, for verse 23, and let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to what? Good works. He said, consider your neighbor, consider your brother, consider your sister in Christ, and provoke them to do more good works for God. Not less, but more for God. Let me give you a listing of some of the top good works that you and I should be involved in. Again, good works don't produce godliness, but godliness should produce good works. The top good works would be loving. Why? God is what? Love. Forgiving. Jesus said, if you forgive others, also I will forgive you. By the way, you know why most people can't forgive people and have a problem with forgiving and have grudges and keep grudges in their hearts? Normally it's because they've been violated in the past. Normally somebody took advantage of them in the past. Normally someone has done something horrendous to them in the past. They've taken advantage of them in a bad way. In a very mean way. They've done something spiteful. They've done something mean. And they will say in their hearts, I will never forgive you. That's not the love of God. Is it a real feeling? It's a very real feeling. I'm not saying it's not real. It is a very real feeling. I am probably more fortunate than the majority of you. I didn't have anything violent happen in my childhood. I didn't have any violations that happened to me. I didn't have anything out of the ordinary happen, sirs, that a normal kid don't get involved in. I didn't have those tragedies in my life that a lot of people have when those violations occur. And in your heart, it's hard to forgive people. I didn't have that. So when somebody comes to me and says, I can't forgive, I don't understand that. I'm not saying that I've got the market on understanding. I've not been violated that way, so I don't understand. My wife has never divorced me, so I don't understand about that. I don't understand that. I don't understand these childhood molestations and how those things happen. I know they're real. And I know people say, I won't forgive him or her. But I can tell you this. You've got to forgive. That's a good work. He said, if you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father in heaven doesn't have to forgive you. How many of us want God to stop forgiving us? I don't think any of us. You say, well, preacher, that's hard. It's impossible with man. But with God, all things are possible. Good works, loving, forgiving, soul winning. Jesus came to seek and to save. Praying. He said, pray without ceasing. What's another good word? Preaching. He said, preach the word. What's another one? Give. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Encouraging is another word. Attending church is another one. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Studying. He said, study to show thyself approved. Mentoring. Amen. The things which I've learned, I've given it to you. Amen. Teaching, helping, leading, supporting, instructing, caring. These are all top good works. Say, preacher. Well, wait a minute. The ladies did all this decoration without Mrs. Norton. Ain't that a good work? You don't find that in the Bible. Does it look good? Yes. Do I like seeing it? Yes. Do I like my lights? Yes. But it's not a good work that's going to get somebody into heaven. And so I can't put all my stock in that and say that's my good work. Ladies, no, I'm not trying to offend you and saying that this is all for naught. Amen. It doesn't look good. Mrs. Norton, the things you've done in the past, that looks good. Amen. I'm not discounting that. But what I'm saying, those are not the good works that we ought to major in. The majoring things are preaching and praying and forgiving and soul winning and encouraging and helping and going. Those are the main good works that God is interested in. Secondary works would include cleaning and singing and fixing and cooking and decorating and preparing. Those things are all good. But the primary good works are loving, forgiving, soul winning and praying and preaching and giving and encouraging and attending. You find those things over and over in the Word of God. That's a good work. Hey, we're going to let our light so shine before men. They need to see good works that are going to give us something in heaven. By the way, our good works that we do should be motivated by love for God. And the good of man. Love will always allow you to do more than you ever imagined for God when you think of all he's done for you. By the way, you can't help but produce good works from a grateful heart. Sir, I don't know about you, but when I got off my knees from praying, Lord be merciful to me, a sinner, I got up with a heart that just wanted to do something for God. I just wanted to give. I wanted to do something. At that time, the only thing I could do was go back to church. But I did start soul winning on Monday. I told my whole office how I got saved. I called my mom and said, Mama, I got saved. I started soul winning right away. Wow, that's a good work. That's a good work. I started praying right away. Lord, help me to remember what that preacher said, because I don't have a clue what he said, but it was good. I don't remember where he even preached that from the Bible, but I know it's there. My wife and I spent the whole week trying to find out where that parable of the sowers was at in the Bible. We didn't have a clue. Shows you how biblically illiterate we were. We didn't have a clue. Got back to church the next Sunday. I'm like, where is that stuff that you said last week? What am I saying? You can't help but produce good works out of a grateful heart. What's this all about? Well, our light's illumination. Let your light so shine before men. It's an allowance. He said, let it shine. But it also has an audience. He said, it should shine before men. Light's operation. He said, that they may see your good works. There's primary good works, and there's secondary good works. But then lastly, notice our light's motivation. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. Our light's motivation. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Our light's operation, our light's motivation should be to make God look good. If we're shining for the glory of God and not man, we'll make God look good. We'll point the praise to him. Say, preacher, how are we going to do that? By allowing men to have an individual view of us as we looked at. By having that world view that we talked about. By having that clear view that we talked about. By the way, the individual view, don't try to shine like somebody else. I don't expect Pastor White or Brother Serge or any other man to get up here and try to preach like me. They're not me. They can't preach like me. They preach better than me. Amen? But guess what? They got to let their individual light shine. You got to let it shine your way. A world view, a clear view, he says, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. But then a household view, he says, it giveth light unto all that are in the house. What do people see when it comes to your light? Is your light darkness that you think is light? If it is, he said, behold, how great is that darkness? Because you think you got light. And he says, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Say we have fellowship with him, we're walking in darkness, we're lying. And we're not doing the truth. We realize our light is to be seen, and it's to be seen in good works, and it's to glorify Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, we'll be mindful of every step we take and every move we make, because it's a light shining. And he said, let it shine. Allow it to shine. Attract people when you shine. But when you attract people, point them to me. Your good works should all point to me. And they should glorify me. Because they may not see me, but they should see me in you and what you do and what you don't do. He says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me ask you this question. What do people see when they see your light? Do they see the Father, which is in heaven? Do they see good works? Or do they see you showing off? Do they see you doing things contrary to the true light that lighteth every man? What do they see in you? Are you doing them before men to be seen of men? Or are you doing them before men to bring glory to God? Say, preacher, those are hard sayings. This is basic Christianity 101, folks. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is not even the hard stuff. We had the hard stuff last week when being beat up and reviled and persecuted for righteousness. We got that part over. This is the easy stuff. Jesus just said, now that you have your wagon full with the Beatitudes, being salt, being light, now just go out and let it shine. Let it show. That's all. He said, just go out and do it. But be careful that the light that is in you is not darkness. Is it attracting people to the glory of God? That he's getting the glory. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Don't look around. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for what we've been able to experience with the passage of Scripture here. And Lord, as a feeble preacher that I am, I could never do this passage the justice that's due to your holy name. Lord, I've attempted throughout the year to give us examinations from this passage that we ought to shine. Lord, as we're coming to the ending of these messages, I pray that we would recognize that our light has to be illuminated, but it's our allowance, and it has an audience, it's people. Lord, I pray that we would recognize that we have to have it in operation by good works, that people would see you glorified in what we do. Lord, lastly, I pray that we would see that you should be the source of our motivation, that we're glorifying you in heaven. Lord, although people may praise us for what we do, what we say and where we go, Lord, we know ultimately the praise belongs to you. Blessing this invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would be honest today and say, preacher, if I died right now, I have some good works. I've tried to glorify God, but I'm not convinced that I'm a Christian today. I'm not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about that. I'm not really quite sure I'm a Christian. I may be, I might not be, but I'm not convinced 100% sure that if I died this moment that I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that all across this room, you raise that hand up. I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. I see that one hand. Amen. You may put it down. Is there another that would join this one and saying, I'm not 100% sure that I'm a Christian born again. I desire to be. I've got good works. Amen. I see that other hand. You may put that one down. I've got good works. I'm trying to glorify God, but I'm not really convinced that I'm a Christian, but I want to be. Anyone else want to join these two? Let me add this to the invitation. Charmaine's going to prepare to sing in just a moment and play. When she does sing and play, if God's spoken to your heart about being saved today, you that raised your hand, why don't you just come down and take my hand and say, Preacher, I'd like to know more about being saved. I have someone take you and show you in the Bible how you can be saved. But just like our light is an allowance and we've got to let it shine, you've got to let yourself come down the aisle and walk and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know more about that. And if you raised your hand, I want you to do that when she starts to sing. But Christian, how about you? Are you letting your light so shine before men they may see your good works so they can glorify God? Or are you trying to get the praise yourself? Are you doing what you do for Jesus Christ? Do you have those good works of loving, forgiving, soul winning, praying? Do you have those good works? Or are you letting your other works outweigh the primary good works? Those are the works that are going to matter in heaven. Christian, I encourage you, come down to an old-fashioned altar. Kneel at the altar and cry out as Charmaine did earlier. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood. Lord, help me to be what I need to be to let my light so shine. Father, bless now this invitation in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Charmaine's going to sing and play. God spoke into your heart. Would you move? You raise your hand saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Would you move? Would you come? Would you come? You raise your hand saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Would you come? Take my hand and say, Preacher, would you get someone to show me how I can be saved? Would you help me out this morning? We have somebody waiting. They can help you. Would you come? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Christians are praying. Christians are praying. Let God speak to your heart. Jesus said, God is light, and him is no darkness at all. How's your light? Say, Preacher, we've been at this all year, and my light just seems to not be able to go above a flicker. My light just doesn't seem to be able to shine. I just can't seem to get that brilliance and that brightness that I want to give. There's maybe something hindering me. David said, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Have you asked God to search your heart? Have you asked God to reveal it to you? You may be not able to shine as brightly because there's something hindering your brightness. Oh, there's no problem with the power. There's a problem with the vessel in which it's going through. And maybe, just maybe, you need to ask God to search your heart. You can't shine the way you need to. And by the way, shining in good works is not always the key if you're not having godliness. Where are you at today? Just as I am, without one plea. Just as I am. God will take you just as you are, but he'll never leave you as you came. He always wants to do something great in your life. Always wants to do something great. Just as I am. Just as I am.
Just as I am.
Amen. Father, thank you so much. for the song, Just As I Am. Lord, thank you that you took me just as I was that one day, February 3rd, 1991. You took me just as I was. But Lord, you didn't leave me that way. Lord, you gave me a light, and you told me to let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works. And Lord, as feeble as I could, I attempted to let that light shine. But Lord, then you gave me the fuel of the Word of God. You gave me the fuel of the Holy Spirit of God. And you gave me the fuel of prayer to God to channel that light and to channel the power to bring brilliance into my life that men could truly see my good works, but Lord, knowing that they were good works that you gave me to do. And they could in turn glorify you in heaven. Lord, thank you for saving me that day and my wife and many, many others that are here. Thank you for their good works. And thank you what people have seen in their lives. But Lord, help us not to leave here today thinking that the light that we have is the light of God if we're walking in darkness and doing not the truth. Lord, help us to recognize there is a light that we can have that is darkness. And oh, how great is that darkness. Lord, may everyone leave here today saying it's truly been a blessing to get my heart cleansed and purified by the preaching of the Word of God. And I endeavor to let my light shine this day and the days after. I'm not going to let Satan blow it out. I'm not going to let Satan stamp it out. I'm not going to let Satan touch it because I've got to give him that permission to blow it out. Lord, help us to stand in the power and the work of God. Dismiss us with thy blessings, Lord. Bring us back this evening. Bless the activities in the meantime that will take place this afternoon. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask Brother Dave Scott if you would come, brother, just give us a